to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
We continue worshiping as we sing about His amazing grace. Let's sing this together, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Isn't God so good to us this morning? We're going to continue worshiping. We've already sung about the amazing grace of Jesus. And now we're going to just sing about the goodness of God. How good He is to us. Send us out no height or depth.
No height or depth can separate.
So
Just lift up this chorus of praise. Just sing this.
We're singing how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous and how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
Just lift this up to Jesus.
We're singing how marvelous and how wonderful and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for.
Sing that little chorus with us. God is so good. One more time. God is so good. And God, you are good. God, you are good. Sing it to him. Oh, God, you are good. And God, you're so good. You're so good. God, you are so good to us. Lord, the line in that song that says, I'm haunted by my past no more, my innocence has been restored. The truth is, that's true lyrics in a song, but it's not always true in our hearts. There are a lot of believers in this room, maybe participating online, that the truth is they're haunted by their past still. We still think about past sins and failures, and somehow we can't move past the grace that you've already extended. So God, as we sang about that grace greater than our sins, as we lifted up songs about your amazing grace, my prayer is that every person in this room and every person online and every person on the radio could feel and experience and live your grace right now. That they would know they do not have to be haunted by their past. That hope is rising like the sun. Your hope is new in our lives every day. So God, may we experience your grace today. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Please speak to us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated if you will. We're so glad you've come to worship with us today. Tomorrow, our United States of America will officially be 246 years old. Now, I'm not going to pick on anybody and tell us what it was like that first year. I don't know if anybody in here was there, but I'm going to say no. I thought about it. God has certainly provided great blessing to this land over a great amount of the past 2.5 centuries. Now, I'm not saying we haven't had times of discipline. I'm not saying we're not in a time of discipline right now, by the way. But what I would say to you is God has blessed us greatly. I am thankful for the gift of longitude and latitude. Now, let me explain what I mean. If we believe that God is sovereign, that God is over all things, and I do believe that, then it is no accident that you and I have been born here in this great land. That was not a mistake. And I think that's important that we understand that. Now, I want to say a few things that might don't hang in here with me before you get upset. Let me finish the phrase first. But we've been called a Christian nation, but the truth is there is no such thing. There's no such thing as a Christian nation. A person is a Christian. When you see a business that says, well, that's a Christian plumber. No, that's a plumber who's a Christian. You say, well, that's a Christian organization. No, that's an organization that has Christians in it. So as a nation, a business, an organization, or a country, we are not Christian in essence that the whole country is Christian, but we have been founded on Christian principles. And if ever you believed for a moment what some of the revisionists have tried to teach us, that we were not really founded on Christian principles, you only have to take, I'll be honest, not even a very deep dive into good history to find that that is not the case. We were founded on Christian principles. So, followers of Jesus in this room, in this state, in our nation, all around the world, followers of Jesus will spend eternity with God in heaven. But there's not going to be a nation or an organization in heaven that's going to be running that way. It's only believers. So it's not about, am I an American Christian, a British Christian, a Canadian Christian in heaven? It's, am I a follower of Jesus Christ? But there is no doubt that these United States of America were founded on Judeo-Christian principles. Now, let me ask you, you don't have to answer out loud, but in your mind, was it perfect in its inception? By no means. By no means. Was the grace of God, as we've sung about this morning, evident in our founding? By all means. It was, and it was there. Listen, this is just an illustration this morning before we dive into Philippians chapter 3, if you want to turn there. But listen to some of our founding fathers' statements that were made. Now, when I began to research and look for different statements that were made about our nation and us honoring and following God, here's the reality. There are hundreds to choose from our founding fathers. But there are a few that are well known that we'll stick with this morning. The opening of your declaration and my declaration of independence, it says this: when in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God, speaking of God, entitle them, a decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the cause which impels them to the separation. What does that mean? Our founding fathers said, because of the inherent rights that God has given us and who we are, out of decency, we will declare to the British that we are separating from them. And then he goes on to say, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator, capital C Creator, with certain unalienable rights. What does unalienable mean? It means rights given by God Himself. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. From the very beginning, the Lord. Thomas Jefferson wrote this: can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis? A conviction in the mind of the people that these liberties are a gift of God. You cannot have freedom apart from a gift of God. George Washington, you know who he is? He said this: let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that national morality can prevail an exclusion of religious principle. What did George Washington say with his fancy words? He says there's no way that any document we write can be lived up to, and there's no way that we will live our religious freedoms apart from religious principle, apart from understanding who God is, who the Savior is, and what He's done in our lives. John Adams said this: we have no government armed in power capable of contending in human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution, don't miss this because this is important for today. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. Now, that's one of the reasons that we see struggle today. Because there are people that don't follow the Lord. Now, we're not trying to have some state-run religion. That is not what the founding fathers, in fact, that's what they wanted to get away from. They wanted the freedom to choose, and in doing so, to be able to choose to worship the Lord. But the idea is, the wonderful principles on which we were founded, there's no way to live them out if believers don't live them out. There's no way to live them out if believers don't do their part here among us. Now, I could read 1,000 more quotes to strengthen this claim, but this experiment known as the United States of America was founded on a number of principles of God, and I want to focus on one for just a moment as we get to right here to the scripture passage, and that is this. The most significant principle we were founded on, in my mind, is freedom. Now, understand, the Bible speaks a lot about freedom because the reality is true freedom only comes from God. You can find freedom from certain laws. You can find freedom from certain tyranny. But true freedom in your life, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul only comes from God. And in fact, in Galatians, it talks about trying to live by the law and live by those who would abuse the law and would abuse you through the law. And Paul says these words about freedom in context of Galatians. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." So Paul is talking about the freedom that believers have in Christ and how that leads us to serve one another, and then that we shall love our neighbors as ourselves. Well, that same freedom in Christ is what teaches the great experiment we call the United States of America, this idea of freedom that has been passed down in our founding documents to what we see today. And it's the idea that we too have freedoms. And as believers, our freedom comes from Christ, not just from some national document. But the national document provides freedoms as well. So what are those freedoms for us here on this earth as a nation? Here's three I wrote down. See what you think. Freedom to serve and love one another. We don't think about that, but that's one of the freedoms we have been given as a nation. 300 plus million people, so divided and scattered in so many ways, and we've seen it a lot in the last couple of weeks. But we have been provided the freedom to love and to serve one another. Freedom to honor and represent God with our lives. There is no one in this nation. There may be someone telling you you aren't to speak the name of Jesus, but no one's going to arrest you for it as of today in this nation. We've got brothers and sisters around the world who are dealing with that, but we have the freedom to honor and represent Jesus with our lives. And then the third freedom, the freedom to make a difference in someone's life, both on this earth and in eternity. One of the greatest things we could do to be patriotic as an American is to make a difference in the life of a neighbor, to make a difference in the life of someone else in our nation. Someone less fortunate, someone on equal status, it doesn't matter, someone of greater status, make a difference in someone's life on this earth. And as believers, our call from Galatians is to make a difference in the lives of others who need to know Jesus. But I want to say a couple of things to you about God that I'm quite certain of today. The first one is this, don't miss this. God does not love an American 1 ounce more than he loves anyone else on this planet. Not 1 ounce more. In fact, there is nothing in the Bible that would show that idea. In fact, you're not going to find the United States of America mentioned anywhere in the Bible. We're not mentioned there at all. And you would say, what does that mean if we're not mentioned there by name? Well, listen, the same thing it would mean for that you need to learn as a young child, we need to learn as a nation. It's not all about us. It's really not. But the reality is, I'll talk in a minute about how God has blessed us and what that should mean that we should be doing for our nation. But in the reality, when you look and see our nation and the blessings it affords, listen, we should be willing to defend it. We should be willing to advance its causes. And that is called patriotism. And as I look around the room, I see a lot of patriotism. How do I see it? It shows up in red, white, and blue. It shows up in what people are wearing. It shows up in how people sang out in the venue, the patriotic songs we sang today. It shows up in celebration and in prayer and how we recognize and honor our veterans. Patriotism is a wonderful thing. But if anyone claims that God loves us more and because of that, that somehow we have a special status, that becomes Christian nationalism and that does not lead to Jesus. The reality is, the truth is, we can choose to follow after God as a nation or we can choose not to. And the reality is blessing will come or discipline will come depending on what we choose. So we must choose Jesus. So the idea is this, that we each here in this nation, though, as believers, we're so blessed because we've been uniquely afforded opportunities to live free, to impact our neighbors, our nation, and the world with the gospel. But now listen, along the way, sin has subverted that idea of freedom. And just as it says in Galatians, we've seen it happen in the lives of so many people. Instead of understanding the true idea of freedom, we've kind of subverted it to self-indulgence. You know what I'm talking about? Now, you might not want to admit it, but you know what I'm talking about because you've done it in your own life as well as me. Maybe in a small case, but at some point in your life, because of sin's deceitfulness, the freedoms we've afforded in Christ has instead been led to self-indulgence. Instead of freedom to live for him and honor him, there have been times we've lived for ourselves. Well, the same has been true
in our nation as well. And as much as I am excited and thankful to live where we do, I want to speak soberly about our nation as well. And in Philippians chapter 3, we are now in week 17 of this series through Philippians. I asked Kale to skip last week while we were out of town this one part because I wanted to read it today, because sadly I see some of this coming true in the life of people here in the United States. In Philippians chapter 3, now make no mistake, this is not about us. This is specifically speaking to those that sought to follow Jesus but were living for themselves in Philippi. And so understand that, but let me read it to you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. The application is strong. It says, brothers, join in imitating me. This is what Paul says. Says that from prison, by the way. He says, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. And here's the tough part. He said, for many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly and their glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Now, friend, let me speak honestly and soberly for a moment. We live in a society in 2022 where many people glory in their shame and their minds are set solely on earthly things. Now, I'm not talking about just the world. I'm focusing on our nation for a moment. I love our nation, but I love it enough to speak the truth about it. There are many in our nation whose God is their belly. There are many in our nation, believers and non-believers alike, who glory in their shame and set their minds solely on earthly things. Ted Traylor is one of my favorite pastors. He grew up on Sand Mountain. He pastors Olive Baptist Church, a large church in Pensacola. And he wrote this on social media yesterday. I love it. Or a couple of days ago, it says this. It says, God chose Israel as his people. In our founding, America chose God. The Lord never changed his mind about Israel, but America has changed its mind about God. And he goes on to say, praying this 4th of July for a mighty revival of repentance and turning back to God in America. Now, I would say there's a lot of truth in those few short words. That yes, in 1776, our founding fathers chose God. Now, revisionists may tell you it wasn't so much about that. It was about other things as well. But again, just search. I'm going to even send you today, when we're done, a link through. If you get a text from us, you'll get this link for a 30-minute video you can watch that shares word after word from different founding fathers, not just talking about God, but about Jesus and how important it was, this whole experiment of the United States, to give us a free opportunity to worship Jesus and propagate the gospel. So I say that to you to say this. When we think back to the idea, it's not that everyone had the right thought. It's not that everyone was perfect. In fact, I understand that history will tell us that there were a number of founding fathers that had great sin and difficulty in their lives, even ones who were followers of Jesus. So from the very beginning in our nation, there were those who claimed Jesus who struggled with overindulgence in earthly things. It's just the truth. And I don't want to besmirch those guys, but those men, but I want to speak to it for a second, because I'm not trying to paint a picture that's not real. The truth is, there were those who sought to do the right thing and did the right thing bravely, but at the same time, we're dealing with their own struggles and sin. But let me give you a quick example of how all this comes about in my mind in the last week. So my family went on a trip for 10 days, but the last week and a half or so, and we ended up driving to Mount Rushmore. Our goal was to be at a family reunion in South Dakota. Someone said, you have family in South Dakota? No. No, not at all. I don't know how we chose that place, but we did. So we're there. We went to South Dakota. It was great. And so we drove. And I had never been to Mount Rushmore, but as we made the turns through what's called the Needles Highway, we went through several of these one-lane tunnels. And as you go through the one-lane tunnel, when you see the end of the tunnel, that's the image you see. It's incredible. In your mind, you start humming patriotic songs. You can't help it. And so you're going along and it happens again. And then when you get there and you park, so that's what we did. And you'll see, I didn't get permission to put my family on the screen. Sorry, guys. But here we are. So this is the first, when we first arrived there at all of the flags of the nations, and you get this beautiful photo op right before we step to this place, right before we get there to that spot, Lily looks down at her phone and she says, "Oh my goodness, did you know that this happened? Roe versus Wade was reversed today." There could have been a no more incredible moment or place to be to get that news than right here. And so in thinking about our founding fathers and thinking about the experiment of the United States and who we are, but as we stopped and saw that and thought through that process, I'll talk more about that in a moment. But before I do, I don't want to paint a picture of perfection either, because we were never founded on perfection. The reality is, and I will say it, and I'm not trying to besmirch their reputation, but two of the men carved into that monument owned over 300 slaves apiece. And so the reality is that even if they sought to, and one other thought that even though they were against slavery completely and fought to be against it, they still didn't think that black and white people were of equal status. Now you say, well, why do you bring that up? Because I want you to understand that we can be followers of Jesus and we can still be struggling with major issues of sin and self-indulgence in our own lives if we don't know it. Not trying to pick on them at all. But it was a powerful moment then to get the news about Roe versus Wade and to stop and to think about what that means and to think that in that moment that I was so proud of our nation. Can I be honest? And some of you are going to think I didn't have much faith. I never thought that would happen in my lifetime. Now, I heard rumblings about it these past few months, but I never thought it would happen. And so when it did, I couldn't believe it. And so I want to say to you that when you think about scriptures that say things like their God is their belly and they indulge in themselves, I think about our history's got its own share of examples of that all the way back to the beginning. So I'm not painting some perfect picture of our nation, but I want to say to you that the lesson learned for us as a nation by a Supreme Court that would say we're going to make something, we're going to take it back to the states and get this out of the federal. I realize that's the position they were taking. And then you have states like Alabama that say we will fight for life and we will fight for the unborn. Then we can stop and celebrate the fact that from that means a life of service and gratitude. So when I talk about being patriotic and about how we can come to the place through our freedom, we can live and serve others. Listen, with the reversal of Roe versus Wade, here's your chance. Here's your chance. Celebrate it on Facebook, celebrate it on Instagram, celebrate it among your friends. Whatever the case may be, I had friends that were very much against it being overturned and ones that were elated that it was overturned. But here's what I can tell you. In the middle of all that, we as believers, our job shows up now. Just like in the founding documents, it was a bold thing to declare that and write your name. It was another thing to go to war, which they did. It's another thing to say, I love our country. It's another thing to go to war for it, which they did. So for us, when it comes to even this decision, can I encourage you, now is the time more than ever for us to rally behind women in our community, families in our community. There will be people who, no matter what the law says, because listen, I'll let you in on a little secret, you cannot legislate someone to Jesus. I'm glad we have laws that will speak to Christianity and the principles of life, but you will never legislate someone to Jesus, and you certainly can't legislate people who don't know Jesus to act like and live like they do know Jesus. Let's be honest, it's hard for some people who do know him to act like they know him, right? Some might say, oh my, right? I mean, that's true. So the reality is we as believers have a greater responsibility now than ever. It was one thing to say, oh, we pray because hundreds of millions of babies' lives have ended over the last decades. It's another thing to now say we must stand in the gap and provide hope and help and healing and resources and love and support and forgiveness and opportunity for women who will still struggle, for men and women who will still struggle. So that's what we'll seek to do as a church. Now, we've been committed to that for years in supporting our crisis pregnancy centers and being involved. One of our own members here, one of our own leaders in our church is the nurse manager for our crisis pregnancy centers. We have several of us who have volunteered in different ways and are a part of that. I've been privileged to serve on the board of that ministry for over 17 years at two different times and two different stints. And can I say to you, the gospel will be proclaimed and we will do our best to encourage and love and care for women in need. But it's going to take help from people like us. It's going to take churches and believers standing up to say, I will foster, I will adopt, I will care. I'll provide for this mother as she's in need and going through her difficult moment. I'll provide these diapers because if I said it's important that life happens, then this person who's stuck in a situation they can't get out of, I will seek to help them. And some would easily say, well, but people just need to be get out of that situation, whatever the case may be. Listen, this is not the place or time for this. It's a whole other message. But let me say very quickly, if you've ever taken the time just to really get your hands and feet dirty in your community, you will find that poverty is a cycle. It is not easy to come out of. And so the best things we can do as believers is believe what the Bible said. What did the Bible say? Don't miss it. It says, the poor you will always have with you. Always. But there are multiple places in the Bible that tell us to love our neighbors as ourselves. To be the hands and feet of Jesus, not those exact words, but that's what it's telling us to do. So friends, you and I can make the commitment. And I would say it's one of the most Christian things we could do, and quite frankly, one of the most patriotic things we can do is to love and serve others around us. So what do we do with this thought today? And so as I had that moment there at Mount Rushmore and thinking about that and going through all that, what a blessing that was to experience that at that moment. But the reality is, a monument like that's just a monument. Doesn't mean you're living it. It's a place to go get your picture made. And the reality is, even our faith, if we're not careful, we make church buildings much like monuments. It's a place to go have worship, get your picture made. But God is calling us to live out the life he's called us to day in and day out, 365 days a year. So what's the point of today's message of my ramblings? And it seems to be ramblings. What's the point of that? Threefold facts. Here they are if you're writing things down. Number one, our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles. So the most patriotic thing you can do will not be to have a barbecue tomorrow, though I hope you have one. And because I'm not eating sugar or carbs, please eat them for me. I will be there in spirit, okay? And so enjoy. I hope you do that. That's great. But that's not the most patriotic thing you can do. The most patriotic and practical thing you can do this year is, number one, exercise your right to vote when the opportunity comes. Come on, that's important. Men died to secure that right, so exercise it. But second, pray for our leaders. Pray for our leaders. You may say, I don't like our leaders. Maybe you didn't like the last one. Maybe you don't like this one. I don't know. Maybe you don't like either one of them. But can I say to you, here's what I know about, this is about as political as I'm ever going to get, okay? Here's what I know about the Bible. The Bible is clear that God is sovereign and he puts rulers in authority in places that they are. Now, I'm not saying that the free will of those of us who vote doesn't matter. What I'm saying is that God is sovereign. And so what we learn through the principles of the scripture over and over from the Old Testament to what we're going to see when the Lord returns someday is this. When it comes to nations and rulers and kingdoms, it seems as if God puts different people in leadership at times to bless and at times to discipline. And I want you to understand that we as a nation at times need the discipline of the Lord. My prayer is that we as believers could live in a way that at some time we would experience the blessing of the Lord. And I believe, and maybe I'm complicated, that you can have both at the same time. And so I would encourage you to stop and realize, though, that this is not about the lost person down the street, how they live, that true repentance and true prayer for our nation and the turnaround that needs to take place to get us back to the general ideal of where we started Listen, some things, steps have been taken to move that way, but many others have walked miles the other direction. So how has that changed? It will not be by you just being angry at a lost person. It will be by you and I on our knees repenting of any self-indulgence. It will be by you and I making a renewed commitment that we will love and serve others around us, because our nation was founded on those principles. The second thing I would say is this: we can use those freedoms to serve someone else. Make someone's life around you better. Point them to Jesus. Point them to the Savior and the Messiah. And just like Paul said that our eternal citizenship is in heaven, this one's temporary. I'm glad I have it temporarily, but it's temporary. But have you ever been somewhere, you ever borrowed someone's vacation home, or you've stayed in someone's house or something like that? What's the one thing you say to them before when they hand you the keys and you're thankful? You say things like this: I'll be sure to leave it better than I found it. Well, friends, if you've ever told someone that, today's the day to say it about the United States of America. Be sure to leave it better than you found it. Listen, if we could just seek to do that as individuals, if we could seek to do that for Albertville. Listen, Albertville is an amazing place. I love our city. And I love this county. I love being here. I hope the Lord will keep me here the rest of my life. But the truth is, if he tells me to go tomorrow, I'm going to go. If he tells you to go tomorrow, you need to go. But if he lets you stay, stay. But here's what I would say. My goal will be the first day I set foot into Albertville in 1998. I'll be honest, I knew nothing about this city except there were lots of cars for sale on 431. And I knew that there were some outlets in Boaz that at one time were, you know, incredible and where it had sort of fizzled. That's everything I knew about Albertville before we moved here in 1998. Lily and I grew up in Huntsville. We lived in Douglasville, Georgia. We drove this road. We saw car lots. That's all we knew. That's all we knew. But when I came to this city and then met people and got to know believers in this area and then found people who didn't know Jesus, who needed him, and got to see our community, I got to tell you, I love this place. But my goal is, if God calls me away next year, or God takes me home next year, or gives me another 30, 40 years here, my goal is to leave Albertville better than when I found her. And my goal is to leave this earth better than when I found her. Now, how am I going to do that? Chris Johnson's got nothing to offer. It is Jesus in me. It is Jesus in you. So make a difference in your community. Live that out. Serve others. And then lastly, trust that the sovereign God has a sovereign plan for you. Just like I said earlier, I don't think it's a mistake that you were born where you were born and you live where you live. I don't think it's a mistake at all. And Paul even talks about it at the Areopagus in Acts chapter 17. Listen to what Paul says. And we'll take what he was speaking to those Greeks there at the Areopagus, and we're going to apply it generally to all of us, okay? So that's what we're doing with the scripture here. Acts 17, 26. Here's what he says. And he, God, made from one man every nation of mankind. And that word nation does not mean United States, France, Britain. It means people groups. He says, that's the word ethne, it's people groups. So he said, and he, God, made from one man every people group of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. Yet he is actually not far from each of us. Paul was speaking to these Greek people who didn't believe in Jesus. They like to go and debate philosophy at the Areopagus. And so he tells them that God, the creator, has appointed every person on the planet to their own boundaries and dwelling place and allotted period of time. And he was using this to begin to share a message of hope and the gospel for them. But let's take it and apply it to the principle of your life and mine. So what that means is this. Don't miss this. It's exciting. If ever you have thought, well, boy, I wish I had been born in a different day. Or, oh, I wish I could go back to this day or that day. Or, oh, I wish the good old days would come back around. Or, oh, I wish I lived 20 years from now when you had your own personal air conditioner to float around. I don't know. Whatever you think about, you want to be in the past or the future. Here's what I would say. The Bible would say this, that you are living when you're supposed to be alive, where you're supposed to live in the allotted boundaries that God has given you. Now, what does that mean? It goes back to our first message of this year when we talked about the Good Neighbor Initiative, that God has you right where he wants you. And so the sovereign God has allowed us to be in such an incredible place where we can speak truth. And yet, yes, there are some freedoms that still are not available in our nation. We need to pray for those and do our part to make that happen. Yes, there are some people who are still oppressed and dealt with negatively. We need to deal with that. Yes, there are people in our nation who are still dealing with racism. And we need to fight against that as believers. Yes, there are people who are squandering the word of God and subverting it for their own self-indulgence. And we need to pray for them. All of these things and all that we see here, it is designed so that God has placed us where we are, that we can be his hands and feet, that others might turn to him. That is what God has called us to do. So if you believe that God is sovereign, you are not an accident. Where you live is not an accident. The time you live is not an accident. And this next breath you take is not an accident. So will you and I seek to glorify God with our lives, with our decisions, with our voting, with our service to others by living in his power? Pray that you will. Now, I alluded earlier to the fact that America's United States is not mentioned specifically in the Bible. Let me talk about that for just a second as we close. Where is America when the Lord returns? We don't know. Anyone that tells you, I'm certain this is the case, I don't trust that. People can have opinions, but there is no clear, it is a mystery in the scripture. We are not mentioned in the book of Revelation. Now, someone would say, well, if we are mentioned in the book of Revelation, it's not good because we're lumped into Babylon. That's not where we want to be, okay? So we're not mentioned there. It would be pure speculation to say what is the fate of the United States of America now that we find ourselves here at this place 246 years later. I don't know the answer to that, but what I would say is this: it is no speculation and complete truth for me to tell you what the end fate is for all followers of Jesus. It is that we will someday leave this earth and spend eternity with God in heaven. And when we arrive there, when Jesus returns and time comes to an end, there will no longer be an opportunity for men and women to give their lives to Jesus. There will be hundreds of millions of Americans who will die lost if America still exists when that time comes. It could be tomorrow, it could be 1,000 years from now, we don't know. So here's what I know: the importance of us living the gospel and sharing the gospel among our family and friends, it cannot be overstated. We must share the gospel, live the gospel, be the hands and feet of Jesus. And do that among our neighbors in your neighborhood. Do that among those who live in your community. Do that among those in our nation. Do that among our Samaria. When Jesus said to be like, to go and make disciples of all people, he tells us that we are to share his gospel, Acts 1:8, in our Jerusalem, which is where we live, in our Judea, which are some people close by, in our Samaria, that's people who are right here near you but are not like you. We've got a lot of people like that. And then those in the uttermost parts of the world, all around the world, you can take that little idea, that little plan, and you can stop and say that God is calling you to be his hands and feet to those right here where you live, your neighborhood. He's calling you to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those nearby in other states and counties and cities. He's calling you to be the hands and feet to people of other ethnicity, other races, other background, other cultures right here among us. That would be the idea of Samaria. He's calling you to go to the uttermost ends of the earth. Now, maybe you cannot physically go, but you can pray and you can give resources and you can be a part of that. But maybe you can physically go. Whatever the case may be, would we make the decision that we will, because we know our citizenship for eternity is in heaven, let's do our best to see that others go there as well. I love in the book of Jude when it uses the phrase, Jude's only one chapter, and he tells us that we are to snatch others from the flames. Let's do our best to snatch as many as we can from eternal separation from God to eternal life with Jesus. That is what we've called to do. And let's leverage then our national and world influence to see the kingdom of God grow. So yes, that's where a nation full of Christians can make a difference. we can leverage what we represent as a nation for the world. It already does so in so many positive ways, but we can see that leverage for the gospel even. And then lastly, pray for those fellow citizens to come to Christ. So what I'm going to ask you to do today is threefold. Number one, thank God for the time and the season in which he's allowed you to be born, the place in which he's allowed you to live, and the boundaries for which he's given you. And with a sober mind, ask him to help you know how you can be his man or woman on the scene in this day, time, nation, city. How you can be his minister. So that's number one, I'm asking you to do that. Number two, some of us, we've struggled with subverting freedom to self-indulgence. So maybe you want to repent, and maybe we want to begin to repent for our nation as a whole. You want to get on your knees and do that and ask God to give us more opportunities to be drawn back to him as individuals, which will lead others to him. And maybe for you, though, it's just a renewed commitment that you will love and serve others and you will be his hands and feet. Maybe you've got someone you're praying for. Maybe God's calling you to come and officially join our church. This would be a great day to do that. We would love for you to do that. Whatever God is saying to you, would you respond to him? Would you bow with me? Father God, thank you for the truth of your word that we read in Galatians. It's for freedom that we have been made free. We've been called to serve one another. God, thank you for the truth of Philippians, where you remind us that our citizenship is in heaven, but while we're on this earth, oh, may we seek to walk as not enemies of the cross, but as ones who are following hard after you. And then, Father, as we read from Acts 17, may we find the truth of this passage, Lord, that you have given us the right boundary, the right location, the right time, among the right people to use us for your glory. May we be used for your hands and feet. Father, we ask that you give us an opportunity as a nation to see more men and women come to know you. God, we pray for our national leaders. We pray for our president, for our vice president. We pray for Congress. We pray for our Supreme Court. Lord, the ones that don't know you, please save them. Lord, I can't imagine trying to lead a country or a state or a city without you. I just can't imagine it. So God, help them, save them, draw them to you. And God, the ones that do know you, but maybe they have subverted their freedoms for self-indulgence, oh God, convict them. Draw them back to what's right and true. And God, the same for each person in this room. May we make a difference in our temporary citizenship on this earth, in this city, in this community. May we make a difference for our world. And God, would you use us to be your man or woman on the scene for you? In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing Just As I Am.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291. Or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.